Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. I'm Pastor Jay Scribner, your interim pastor, and just delighted to see you and to have you in our worship. We've got visitors with us, and that's always a blessing. Do us a favor. If you're visiting First Baptist Church, just reach out right in front of you, and in the pew back right in front of you should be a connection card. Would you pick one of those up, please, and begin the process of filling that out? And then you can drop it in the offering plate, or else on your way out, you can stop by the connection table. Have you seen that new visitor's connection table we have out there? And wow, that is a beautiful piece of furniture and a wonderful addition. We appreciate Mr. Klug helping us and providing that for us. And so if you're a visitor, you can stop by there, and we have a gift for you. So thank you for being a part of our worship today. I want to thank you for your prayers last Thursday. What a delightful time I had with Governor Parson and Mrs. Parson. And they are a delightful couple, wonderful couple. And I was with 12 other pastors from the state, and we had a wonderful meal. Prior to that time, I got a chance to go to the governor's office, where he invited his entire staff, probably about 20 of them, and shared a devotional time with them. Let me tell you, it's great having a Christian governor and someone that is not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and he is not. And so that is great. So thank you for your prayers. I about got myself in trouble. I know that's hard for you to believe. Before the governor and Mrs. Parson had come in to greet all the pastors, we were at the governor's mansion, and you can imagine, if you've been there, you know this. Otherwise, you can imagine that the grounds are just beautifully landscaped. And so I said to all the pastors gathered before the governor and Mrs. Parson had come in, I said, "Now, let me remind you that the governor and Mrs. Parson want us, before we leave, to go outside and pluck up one of the shrubs or one of the mums and take them home with you and plant them at your ministry place as a reminder of today." Now, the problem was they believed me. And I'm thinking, you know, they would crack up when I said that, but they all looked at each other and said, "Oh, how nice that will be. What a wonderful gesture on the governor's part." And I said, "Whoa, stop, that was a joke." I was afraid I was going to get to spend the evening in Jefferson City. Well, anyway, thanks for your prayers. As you can see, I needed them. Now, let me point out several things, please. This is not in the bulletin, but next Saturday at 1 o'clock, here in the auditorium, there will be a memorial service for Casey Cox, who passed away just a few weeks ago. And Audrey, she's probably here this morning. And so here she is right over here. And so they've already had a memorial service in another state where they've been from. But they felt like, and she feels like, it would be good to have one here. And I agree with that. So please make note of that. 1 o'clock next Saturday here in the auditorium for a brief memorial for Casey. All right. And Jim and Kent and I also attended the Missouri Baptist Convention this week and heard some great preaching, and of course the business transactions that took place there. And it's good that we are a part of the some 1900 plus Missouri Baptist Convention churches here in our state. And so The more you know about that, the better off you are to be informed about the work of ministry that takes place here throughout our state for the sake of the kingdom. Let me also remind you of a couple of coming items. That is, on November the 11th, we have a Gideon speaker that will be here. He's coming from Arkansas. And you'll be delighted, you'll be blessed by hearing Arnie Burke. I've had him for, 15 or 16 years probably, and what a tremendous speaker. I appreciate our Gideons, and we've got several here in our church, and I'm so grateful for them. And you're going to get to hear Arnie Burke on November 11th, but please be aware of that because we'll be taking up an offering for the Gideon's ministry, so just make note of that. Now, I know that that happens to be deer season. That also happens to be Sunday when we gather together for worship. I'm going to guess, I'm just going to guess, that if you'd put your priorities right, you'd probably get a bigger deer this year than ever. Just saying. Now also, I'll be announcing and giving you some more information about this, but the week of November 11 through 17, that entire week is going to be a week of a prayer-focused week for us, praying for your new pastor. You'll be getting more information about that. I'm going to ask you to even consider praying and fasting that week. I'll be giving you instructions about prayer for the entire week. But just get in your mind that entire week we're going to have a focal point of prayer for our new pastor. You'll be getting more information about that. I just wanted to give you a heads up about the fact that that's coming. All right, other announcements in your bulletin. This afternoon, evening worship service at 6. Sunday school teachers, 5 o'clock, your monthly meeting. That's important for you to be at that. And that's at 5. Evening worship at 6. We're going to do Impacting Mountain Grove part 2, and so don't miss out on that. I've got some exciting things to share with you regarding Impacting Mountain Grove. Also, the Fall Fest coming up. Mother Nature's not cooperating with us with that. And so make some changes regarding that, and there will be no setup this afternoon. So please make note of that. That's because there's 90% chance of rain, and so we're moving that into inside. So lots of changes. We still need volunteers, and we still need candy, please, okay? And so make note of that so you can come and help. But we still need volunteers for that. Ladies, it's your last day to sign up for your evening of renewal. We've got a lot of you coming, and you don't want to miss that. What a tremendous evening that's going to be this coming Friday evening. But here's the last time to get your tickets. If that's a problem from a financial standpoint, then see Mrs. Scribner and just let her know that you'd like to come, but you can't afford a ticket. But to be at that. That's going to be a tremendous evening. Young ladies, especially, Kay tells me that there aren't as many of our young ladies signed up for that. That would be a great bonding time for your husband to be with the kids that evening. Ladies, let me really encourage you. Don't miss out on that thing. All right, men's Bible study. We're picking that up again November the 5th. Men, we had a great turnout before on our last six-week series. Let's have an even greater one. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to the Lord to be engaged in discipleship, and that's a great discipleship thing. All right, on the back, look about Single Friends Ministry. Look at that, the Johnson Strings. We've still got tickets available for that. Operation Christmas Child, we'll have something at the end of the service regarding that. And let's go ahead and meet our Missouri Missions offering goal. All right. Boy, this is an active church, isn't it? And that's good. Thank you for being engaged and involved as much as you are, and for your blessing and benefit, and for the sake of the kingdom. All right, the Lord bless you for being here. We're delighted that you're here. We've come to worship the Lord. Let's continue singing.
Let's stand together and sing this morning, "I Am Thine, O Lord." It's 535, if you'd like to use a hymnal. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thine love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, been really thirsty. Anybody in here? I know I have. I used to run track and cross country, and there were times we were running and a workout, and my mouth would be so dry that I almost couldn't open it because it was so dry, and you're so thirsty. We're going to sing a song that says, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." Are you thirsty for God this morning? Let's lift him up.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. Desire, and I long.
Kent, thank you so much. And praise team, instrumentalists, thank you all. Nancy and choir, you always do a wonderful job. So thank you so much. Isn't it great seeing so many children heading off to Children's Church? And we appreciate so much all who serve to help us with those areas of ministry. Keep your Bible handy. Get your listening sheet ready, please. A lady was getting on a city bus with 8 children. And as they filed onto the bus, and finally the lady walked on after them, the bus driver looked at her and said, "Are these all your children, or is this a picnic?" She stopped, she looked at him, and she said, "Neither." She said, "These aren't all my children, and I can guarantee you, this ain't no picnic." Well, I want to talk to you about children, about spiritual children today. Now, by the time we're finished with this message, and I'm going to give you these 4 categories of spiritual children that are identified for us within Scripture. And we've got a number of different Scripture verses that we're going to look at this morning, so just get a pen or pencil ready to follow with this outline. But by the time we're finished, hopefully you will be able to identify which category you fit into. Everyone here today fits into one of these 4 categories of spiritual children. Everybody does. And so I'm going to be praying that by the time we finish with this message, you know very clearly where you fit. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that your Word would have free course today to go forth and accomplish its intended purpose. I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply the truths of this message to each and every one of us here today. Thank you, Father, that one way or another, we are a spiritual child. Make it very clear to each of us within this room today which category we fit into. And Father, I pray that today, individuals that are not your children, might today, by faith, come to be a child of the living God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the first one. We're talking about spiritual children. The first one is children of wrath. Children of wrath. Now, the scripture reference is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. And look what it says there. "Among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Now look at this. "And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others are." So we're by nature the children of wrath. Now here's what that means. The reality is that we are all born into being children of wrath. And the reason for that is that we are by nature children of wrath. That is our old Adamic nature, the nature of Adam, the first Adam. You remember that story? When I'm out working in the yard and I'm confronted with thorns and thistles, I get ticked off at Adam. I don't mind telling you. And it's because of Adam's sinful nature that is passed down to man that, in fact, we are children of wrath. That simply means that we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve the displeasure of God. We deserve the judgment of God. We deserve the condemnation of a holy God. Now let's look at this over in Romans chapter 5. So there with me, if you will. Romans chapter 5. And jot these down so that you can study them on your own. Romans chapter 5. Let's pick it up with somewhere around, let's say verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Going down to verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. All right, so you go back sometime this week, study that for yourself, read that entire chapter of Romans 5, and you'll see that it illustrates and demonstrates. It's exactly what I'm saying, and that is that because of Adam's sin and the Adamic nature that was passed on. Am I not on when I get away from the from this? Okay. Wow, this will cramp my style. I don't mind telling you that one. Pray for me. You see, because of Adam's sinful nature, which was passed on to all of mankind, and you got it. You got it. And that simply means that because of that nature, which was passed on to we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve the condemnation of God. We deserve the displeasure of God. We deserve the judgment of God. Now, aren't you glad that we don't get what we deserve? Hallelujah. All right. That would assume I could read that from back there, Kent. Pardon? Okay. All right. Thank you for letting us know. So that's the first one. Now, spiritual children that's identified for us. And that's the way our lifestyle was, you see, that by nature, we are children of God. of wrath. Now, here's a second kind of spiritual children, and it's children of disobedience. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. This time, look at verse 2. Verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 2 says this, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." In the children of disobedience. So that's our second kind of spiritual children. You see, because of our Adamic nature, we have an inclination towards sin. We have a bent towards sinning. We're bent toward disobedience. We have an inclination toward going our own way, doing our own thing. You ever notice that about you? And if you haven't, why don't you ask your husband or wife? They'll clarify that for you. But you see, we have that kind of inclination. We have that kind of leaning toward sin. And it's because of that sinful nature that we have. And there comes a time in our life when we come to the age of accountability. Now, follow what I'm going to share with you and illustrate for you over the next few moments. Now, follow this carefully. First of all, you need to understand that the concept of the age of accountability is in Scripture. The term age of accountability is not in Scripture. Everybody with me? Amen. That term is not there. But the concept is, and that concept is simply this, that there comes a time in our life when we recognize and realize that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that comes at all different times for us, to be honest with you. For some person, it may be when they're quite young. And it may have happened that way with you. And that's fine. I certainly have no problem with that. And so there may have been a time when you were quite young when you understood in a very simple way, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Now for others, because of your mentality or because of your makeup or because of your background or because of your family circumstances or just because of your lifestyle, it may have happened at a later time in life, and I'm certainly fine with that as well. And so it may come at any different age span in our life. But now here's the problem with our concept, or for most of us, our concept of the age of accountability. We usually refer or think of that in the perspective of moral accountability when we know right from wrong. And that is not the case. And I'm going to illustrate that and explain that to you. So we're not talking about moral accountability. Everybody following this? When we talk about the age of accountability, we're talking about doctrinal accountability. Say those two words with me. Doctrinal accountability. We're not talking about moral accountability. Now, you know why I know that? And that's because I'm a dad. How many of you are parents? You'll understand exactly what I'm going to show you here. I'm a dad. I got two boys. One of the main problems with those two boys is they're a lot like their dad. Now, when they were quite young, toddlers, and they both went through this, when they were toddlers, you remember that time? And they're able to stand up. And that's an exciting day for Mom and Dad. Man, we're cheerleaders. Well, look at you. And we applaud, and they smile. They smile that toothy grin, and they must have done something good. And then, not only are they able to stand up, but they become mobile. Not so good. Standing up was great. Moving forward isn't always so great. Now, my wife has always decorated our house beautifully. We got neat stuff sitting everywhere. Even when we couldn't afford expensive stuff, not that we can now, but she made it look expensive. She decorated the house beautifully. Now, when Paul was a toddler, he's our oldest, he stands up and he starts toddling, moving around. Well, we had a critical decision to make at our house. We looked at each other and we thought, okay, what are we going to do with all that pretty stuff? She got sitting on the coffee table. Places that Paul can reach now. Glass stuff. Do we move it up? Or do we take the hard course and we learn how to teach him not to touch that stuff? We decided to dig in and we're going to teach. So, he stands up, he moves around, he ends up at the coffee table. And he looks at that pretty piece of glass that my wife had on the coffee table. Now, Dad goes into action. Paul, he looks at me. And I said, no, do not touch that. He looks at me. He looks back. Paul, no, no, no. He flashes his one tooth at me. He looks back. No, Paul, no. You been there? You got kids? You got broken glass? Same thing happened to Mark. Same thing. Different piece of glass. Same thing. He's pulled up at the coffee table. He looks at that. Now, I'm a veteran now. Mark. No. No. No, Mark, you touch that, I'll come over and break your arm off and beat you to death with it. I did not say that. I thought it, but I didn't say it. Mark flashes his tooth at me. And then does what? Same thing. Same thing. Now, did they know right from wrong? Yeah, they did. Yes, 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 they did. They knew right from wrong. They knew what it meant to when I said no. They did. There were other times. Infrequently, but there were other times that they responded in the right way. What's the problem with those boys? I already told you, they're a whole lot like their dad. Yeah. They knew, right? So here's what I'm saying. When we talk about the age of accountability, we're not talking about moral accountability. Is everybody following this? We're not talking about moral accountability whereby you come to a point where you know right from wrong. Now, that happens extremely early in life for almost all of us. So it's not a matter of moral accountability. It is a matter of doctrinal accountability. And that is when you come to the point in your life when you recognize and you realize and you understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus the Christ is the Savior. Now let me show that to you through by showing you John chapter 3. And you see what happens is that there comes a time in our life, and like I said, that can come at a variety of different ages, but that age of doctrinal accountability, when I understand that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the Savior. Now listen, when I come to that point in my life and I reject Jesus Christ as my Savior, that it is at that point that I become. Now I'm going to show this to you scripturally. It's at that point that I become a child of disobedience. I understand in my simple understanding, through the ministry of the Word, through however it is that God has chosen to reveal Himself to me, I understand that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is the Savior, but I do not accept Him. It's at that point I become a child of disobedience. Remember our old familiar verses in John chapter 3? Let's start that together with verse 16, but I want to go a little further than that. But let's start with verse 16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Look at verses 18 and 19. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned when? Already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, because of that old Adamic nature, we are children of wrath. We deserve the wrath of God. But there comes a time in our life, the age of doctrinal accountability, when we realize we're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. And it's at that point, you see, light's now been revealed to me. The truth's been revealed to me. And it's at that point, I've got to do something about it. And by faith, I need to receive that light into my own life. I need to receive Jesus into my own life. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, if I don't, then I've rejected him. Now follow this. Because I'm preaching clear-cut message of gospel to you today, my friend. Now you've heard it before, but listen. At the end of this message, invitation time, you don't have to stand up and say, no. No. I've heard it, but no. I don't want it. I'm not going to accept it. No. I reject what you're saying, Jay. And I reject your Christ. And I reject the Bible. And I reject Jesus Christ. And I reject the God. And I reject the gospel. No, no, no. And you turn around and you run out. Listen, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. The reality is, by your not accepting, you're rejecting. You following this? It's at that point that you become a child of disobedience. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Children of the devil. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44 and 45. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. All right, now follow this very carefully, and that is this. A lot of times we think that someone is a child of the devil, someone who is very wicked and evil and vile, and we think that person is a child of the devil. But now I want you to follow what I'm showing you scripturally today, and that is this. You may think of someone like Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden, man. Those people are children of the devil because they're vile and wicked and ruthless people. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to show you a classic example, and we see it right here in John chapter 8. The unbelieving Jew of Jesus' day is a classic example of someone being a child of the devil. That's who Jesus is referring to here and addressing here in John chapter 8. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We're Abraham's seed." So you see, that's who he's talking to here. And then on over to verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoice to see my day." And so he is talking to Jewish people. He's talking to the unbelieving Jew of his day. And now turn over to Romans chapter 10, and I want to show you something very interesting. Romans chapter 10. Beginning with verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness," now follow this, look at this, "and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So here it is in a nutshell. What makes a person a child of the devil? Now catch this. Having rejected the claims of Christ, they set about to develop their own self-righteousness of works. And they were zealous about it. So, Jay, you're talking about the Jews. No, I'm showing you that they're a classic example. You say, well, we don't have anything like that today. Oh, really? Then why is it when I talk to some people, some of you would answer this way, why is it that I talk to some people and I say, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you born again? And I get this kind of response. Well, let me see. I was baptized really. I didn't ask you when you were baptized. Ask if you're a Christian. Ask if you're born again. Ask if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Why is it that when I ask that, somebody says, well, you know, I've been a Baptist since... Show me here where that's what it takes to get to heaven. Why is it I get a response of, well, you know, my daddy was a deacon. Okay. I've had people say, you know, I appreciate you asking that. My grandpa was a circuit riding preacher. Okay. I've had people say, well, you know, I went through confirmation when I was 13 years old. All right. I have people say, well, you know, my religious background, man, I went to catechism school. Okay. Look at something. This is interesting. Matthew chapter 13. Here's something else to study during the week. Matthew chapter 13. And you've read it before. It's the parable of the tares. The parable of the tares. T-A-R-E-S. And Matthew chapter 13. And you would pick it up beginning with about verse 24. Another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now, go ahead and read that passage for yourself sometime this week and study that parable of the tares. Now, some people say, well, tares are just weeds. No, tares, it's an interesting grain. It looks a whole lot like wheat. But it's fruitless. Actually has no fruit on it, although it grows like and looks like wheat. And then he goes ahead to say in that parable, over in verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then go on down, verse 38, the disciples had asked him, tell us the parable of the tares. And look what he says in verse 38. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. They grow together. They look alike. They sit next to each other in church. But one is counterfeit. One's counterfeit. And God's going to let them grow together or sit side by side in church until the time of the harvest. And then he'll gather the tares, the counterfeit Christians, the counterfeit, and bundle them up for the burning. But the true He'll bring into his barns. What's that mean, Jay? Well, it means simply this, my friend. If you, having borne children of wrath, came to that age of doctrinal accountability, but you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you've never responded to who Jesus is and his claims of what he did for you, you have not responded in true faith, biblical faith, and having set about to establish your own self-righteousness of works. And that shows up in, you know, well, I've been baptized, I'm a member of a Baptist church, I tithe, I teach, I'm a deacon, I serve, I've gone through catechism, I've been through confirmation. Having rejected the claims of Christ, we've set about to establish our own self-righteousness of works. Jesus refers to those kind of people as children of the devil. I'm going to show you the fourth one in just a moment. So let me say this to you. We're not subjected to hell because we are children of wrath. There's a whole lot I could and should say about that. We are not subjected to hell because we are children of wrath. We are subjected to hell because we become children of disobedience and we don't accept the claims of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did for you. We may go on to become children of the devil because we set about to establish our own self-righteousness of works. I hope you understood what I just said about those three categories. We desperately need to become a part of the fourth category, and that is children of God. Children of God. Children of God are the ones that are going to spend eternity at home with the Father. Children of God are going to spend eternity with family. Children of God are ones that are going to be saved forever, not lost forever. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, and again, read that whole chapter, you'll find very simply, very plainly that it's in context of Jesus. As many as received Jesus, to them he gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Wow. So my question to you is, have you become a child of God? By faith, have you become born again? We're all born physically, and consequently, because we're born physically, we are born children of wrath. We may well become children of disobedience, and we might even go on to become a child of the devil. So that means we need to be born again, born the second time, born spiritually. You've been born physically. Have you been born spiritually? We're talking about spiritual children today. Are you, in fact, a child of the living God? And have you been born spiritually the Bible way? If you haven't been born spiritually the Bible way, you're not a child of God. Have you been born again? Have you become a Christian the Bible way? Are you, in fact, a follower of the Lord Jesus? Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the desperate need of the day, my friend. Have you, in fact, responded to the claims of Jesus Christ from this book of who Jesus is and what he did for you? And have you, by faith, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you placing your faith alone in Christ alone, as recorded through the Bible alone, in order for you to be a child of God? Well, at the beginning I said, we're all one of these. So my question is, which one? Which one are you? Pretty clear cut. Which one are you? You may not be to that age yet where the age of doctrinal accountability, and so you may just still be a child of wrath. Have you come to the place where you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior? But now you haven't received him. You haven't accepted him yourself. Child of disobedience. Or have you gone on then to become a child of the devil? That's having rejected the claims of Jesus Christ, and you've set about to establish your own self-righteousness of works, whatever that might be. Well, that would be a counterfeit Christian is what that would be. So you want to make sure that you haven't allowed the enemy, the devil, to slip you a counterfeit. Or do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, based on God's word, I'm a child of the living God? All right. I want to pray with you, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. Now listen very carefully. Don't risk it, my friend. You ought to be able to figure it out. And it's a pretty simple message, actually. Somewhat complex, but it's not that bad. It's not that hard. You're one of those four. Those are the only four spiritual children identified in Scripture, and you're one of them. Which one? Which one? Now, after we pray, we're going to have an invitation like we do every week. I preached a number of messages to you already over the last several months. I'm not sure any of them is as critical as the one I just finished, because it has to do with your eternity. It has to do with where you're spending eternity. It has to do with the truth and the simplicity of the Word of God. If you cannot say 100% certain, I'm a child of God, I want to encourage you, the moment we stand, you move out into the nearest aisle and come forward and just simply say to me, I want to become a child of God. We'll counsel with you. You can have a faith response to God today, so that before you leave this building, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm a child of the living God. So make up your mind. The moment we stand, you'll move out into the nearest aisle and come and say, I want to be a child of God. Now, don't do all this mental gymnastics of where you say, well, you know, Jay, what would people think? I hold this office, I do this, I do that. It doesn't matter what anybody but God thinks. Don't you let pride keep you from getting right with God forever. I'll tell you what I'd be concerned about. It's when your friends get to heaven and your family gets to heaven and you're not there. What are they going to think? I wouldn't give a rip what anybody thinks today, my friend. Only God. And He knows. Okay, everybody understand what we're doing? Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray that your Spirit would do a work of drawing people to you. If somebody in the category of child of disobedience, I pray that you draw them to yourself today. Somebody in the category of being a child of the devil, that you draw them to yourself today. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us so that we might become children of God. Thank you for the offer of being a part of your forever family. Thank you for the offer of your grace, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. The light has come. The light has come. And thank you that you offer the light to us that we might walk in the light and be children of the light. Do a work of salvation today in the hearts and lives of people who need to become children of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand together, please. You come today, and if you know of someone that needs Jesus Christ, you come and kneel in an altar of prayer. I want to ask Christians, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you come to the altar and pray. There are people right here today that need to be born again. You come.
Beautiful, wonderful Savior, I know for sure. All of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Give my life to the potter's hand.
Are you in fact a child of God today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am a child of God. I've been born again. I've become a Christian. I've been converted. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that for certain? For yourself. It's not a matter of your grandpa, your grandma, your mom, your dad, somebody in your family. You, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? All right, we're going to sing. We're going to sing one more verse. If you need to come, you come now. Come now.
Wonderful Savior, I know for sure. All of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect.
We always try to deal with everyone very gently and carefully and personally. And so, talking to Lisa over the next few minutes. And I appreciate Lisa's courage to come today to say, I want to be saved. And so be praying for them, okay? Is everyone else up to date? Everyone up to date? Anybody else that wants to say, you know what? Yeah, this happens to me quite a bit over the last decades, where someone comes and says, you know, preacher, I was supposed to come forward last week, and God's haunted me all week long. Well, let me tell you, the time to move toward God is when God's drawing you toward Him. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the acceptable time. Is there anybody else that needs counsel biblically to say, I want to be saved? Anybody else? Be seated just for a moment, would you please? Thank you so much for your attentiveness today. I appreciate that. Appreciate our attendance today. And let me remind you, Sunday school teachers, 5 o'clock tonight. Worship at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be sharing part 2 of impacting Mountain Grove. Don't miss that. And valuable stuff I want to share with you. All right. Steve, come on up here. He's not one of our deacons, but I think he can pray, and so I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer, okay? I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you too, brother.
God bless you. All right, lead us in prayer. Let's stand together and see you tonight.
Father, we thank you for truth that we only find in your word. Lord, we thank you for Jay bringing the message today, Lord, and really in simple terms, Father. It's a simple decision that we make. We either accept you or we reject you. And Lord, I pray that, you know, you can reject Christ today, but you can accept him tomorrow. And I want you to, those of you that may have rejected him, think about it. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just be all over you and draw you back to him and to him, Lord. Father, I pray for our church. Lord, I pray that we'll get our things in order. Lord, we've got a good church. We've got a good group of people, Lord. And Father, help us to be about your work. Help us, Lord, to personally be involved in the things that you'd have us. Again, Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.